This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, absolutely delighted to be with you today as we come together in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to have holy conversation together and to see what God has in mind for us. It's always a joy and a privilege and a blessing to be with you, to spend these moments with you, to see what God is doing in our lives, and to appreciate from all kinds of different vantage points the great glory that is His and the great glory that He shares with us. So we certainly do invite you to pick up the phone and to give us a call here. Let me give you a number that you can use. The toll-free number for you to use is this. It's simply this. It is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. It is toll free for you, and we look forward to hearing from you. Ryan Penny on the phones today, eager to take those calls that you will bring to us. So we invite you to do that. Just pick up the phone and punch in the numbers 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. You can also join us out there in social media land. We've got Jeff Burson. Jeff Burson, lovely person, is our producer, and he's our social media maven, and he gathers all your questions together, and he puts them up on the board. And the way that you get those questions to us via social media is through EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Use the chat feature there, and it'll come up for us here, and we'll be outrageously excited and happy about that. I've got some special events to remind you about. We're going to be in Lafayette, Louisiana. Yes, we are. Yes, we are. We're going to be there. We're going to be there very soon. We're going to be there on June 20th for the Benedicta Leadership Enrichment Seminar with our guest, Kathleen Beckman. She was our guest on radio yesterday, and I'm certain that just having her with us for those few brief moments has helped to encourage you to join us there for our Benedicta Leadership Enrichment Seminar that begins on June 20th at 9 o'clock a.m. in the morning and runs through mid-afternoon on Friday, June 21st. The retreat opens up that Friday evening with a beautiful, beautiful mass that will be celebrated by the Bishop of Lafayette and Father Russo, as well as Father Chris Decker. We're looking forward to that opportunity to be with you for that retreat, which runs through right around, 11 o'clock, 12 noon on Sunday. The theme for the Benedicta Leadership Enrichment Seminar, excuse me for that little cough, the theme for the Benedicta Leadership Enrichment Seminar is Women, God's Weapon Against Evil. Kathleen Beckman is going to explain to us and explore with us why we are the weapon that God wants to use at this moment in the history of man, and what is the power and the authority that woman wields against the evil one, how it is that we incorporated into Our Blessed Lady, lift our dainty little heels in union with hers and smite the heads of the serpents in our day and time. So we invite you to join us for this seminar that I know is going to encourage you, is going to empower you, it is going to really send you forth on a marvelous mission to live out the reality of your feminine genius right here in this our day and time. The retreat theme, Embracing the Holy Duet, Mary and the Holy Spirit, glory. I mean, does it get any better than talking about Our Lady and the Holy Spirit? I can't imagine. So it's a beautiful opportunity for us to share that time together to explore once again the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the maternal beatitude of Our Lady that brings us these gifts, that brings us every spiritual blessing in the heavens. She didn't earn the spiritual blessings in the heaven. That comes to us by way of the passion, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, but she is the distributrix. She is the mediatrix. She's the one who gets the graces to us. Why? Because that's the Father's will. What does woman do? Woman breathes life, right? Woman has the opportunity to participate in life. And in that participation, so central to her feminine person, she brings life wherever she goes. So it makes sense that God would say, woman, you who bring life into the world, you who bring physical life and spiritual life into the world, bring the life of my spirit to my people, right? Bring the breath of the Holy Spirit to my people. Bring the gifts of the Holy Spirit to my people. Bring the fruit of the Holy Spirit to my people. And so we're going to be exploring all of this together as we come forward for this beautiful retreat. And there's a healing service in there to get us all suited up and patched up, if you will, so that we can contain more of God, and he can possess more of us, and we can do the call that we're called to do and give fiat with Our Lady. I can't wait. I really just can't wait to get there. So I'm hoping that you're going to join us. All the information is available for you out there at womenofgrace.com. That's our website, womenofgrace.com. When you get to the homepage, scroll on down midway, through that page, you're going to see the events on the left-hand side. Just click on them. They open up. They'll give you the schedules. They'll give you the talk titles. And even better still, they're going to give you the way that you can register and join us for this beautiful retreat. Well, I got to tell you, I'm teary-eyed this morning. And my producer, Jeff Burson, said, I have to share with you what's going on in my life right now. So, my dad passed away last September. And I've been really handling the business end of all of this and been managing the estate. And it's been a bit of a complicated affair. And, prior to coming on the air today, I had to take care of some major pieces of business that involved dad's accounts and moving funds and all of these things. And, probably for the last 5 years of my dad's life, I really handled all of his financial matters for him, wrote his checks, paid his bills, did all of that for him. And so I had to go to the bank and begin to close out these accounts and to transfer the funds into the estate. Any of you that have done this, you know what that process is like. It's a grueling process. It's really outrageously time consuming. There's a lot of attention to detail that has to happen there because you're dealing with legal matters and probate law and other things govern these kinds of things. You've got to be on your toes with this. And, so I think since September, I was in my big girl shoes, so to speak. But when I had to start to, take care of this end of the business that was really dad's personal end of the business, and he entrusted me with his sacred duty and responsibility to make sure that all this was handled well, it hit me really hard. And I didn't think I'd cry on the air, but I am. It hit me really hard. And I had to go to two banks this morning. And, when I was dealing with agents there, both times, tears were rolling down my cheeks. And I got all choked up. And here I am still choked up. And it occurred to me that, I haven't really allowed myself to grieve very much because the press of duty and responsibility was great. And so that was it. And so it's a tearful day here. And Father's Day is coming up this Sunday. And I'll bet you a lot of you have lost your dads. And, I just want to give tribute to my dad today. And maybe you want to give tribute to your dad today. So we're here for you. And I'm going to cry my way through the show. I'm just telling you straight up, it's going to happen. I can't help it. The floodgates have opened and, grief is what grief is. Let's talk about these things, right? It just seems to be a perfect way to come into this beautiful Father's Day where, we acknowledge the great gift that our dads have given to us. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way you can join us. Stay with us.
Encouraging women in their gift of authentic femininity. Here's more Women of Grace with Johnette Williams.
Welcome back, friends. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, and I am delighted to be with you today. I certainly am. We are family right here on Women of Grace Live. Mother Angelica used to call all of her viewers and the listeners that came along later as family, and we stand together. And, God has great things in mind for us. I was sharing with you prior to the break that I had to take care of some financial business for my dad today, who's passed away last September. And, you know, it's hit me really hard. So I'm just sharing my grief with you today. Can't help that. It is what it is. And here we are. But it occurred to me, you know, Father's Day is Sunday. And this is a beautiful opportunity for us to give tribute to our fathers. And also to enter into a process of forgiveness for dads who, you know, really were not the spiritual fathers that we needed, that, you know, their paternal charisms for whatever reason were stunted. And in some cases, not at all present to us. But God has resolution for all of this. And recently, a very dear friend of mine who lost his daughter was sharing with me about his grief and how in the middle of the night, you know, it just struck him. And he pulled out the rosary and he began to pray that rosary. And, you know, I chatted with him and said, you know, that is exactly the right thing to do. And as I went through this process today and was weeping in these banks, you know, with these men trying to explain why I was crying, a passage of scripture came to me, and it's one that we frequently hear at funerals. And it was one that was read at my dad's funeral mass, my mom's funeral mass, my son's funeral mass, my husband, my late husband's funeral mass. And it's a beautiful one. And, you know, in these moments, where do we turn? You know, what do we do? I mean, we can ball up our fist and rail at God and be angry with him. But, you know, the fact of the matter is we're born into this life for a mission, and only God knows when that mission's completed. And for some, that mission's completed in the womb of the mother. For some others, it's completed, you know, in early childhood. For others, you know, as they're making their way through. I lost my son at 25 years of age, right? Simon's mission was completed, right? God brought him into the world for a purpose, for a reason. When God knew it was the perfect moment for him to go home, he took him. So it's futile to, you know, ball up our fist and rail at God. God has a purpose for everything that happens. And so what is our job in that? Well, our job in those moments when the grief is great. I mean, think about our Lord. He wept twice in sacred scripture. Once was at you know, when he knew he was going to bring Lazarus back to life, he wept nonetheless at the loss of his friend. And he wept over Jerusalem, who had he missed the time of their visitation. Well, all of these grief-filled moments are times of visitation for us. And so we turn to the one who wants to visit us in those times. We turn to our Lord Jesus Christ. We turn to the truths of the faith. We turn to sacred scripture. We turn to, you know, the great grace that is ours through all of the teachings of Holy Mother Church and the devotions that she gives to us. So this particular passage, read at so many funerals, it's been read at every funeral that has populated my life, is a beautiful one. And it came into my mind even as I was crying at the bank. And it's one, and it's called The Hidden Counsels of God. It's found in Sirach, the Book of Wisdom, Chapter 3. And it's on suffering. That's the way that it's titled. And it says this: the souls of the righteous are in the hand of God, and no torment shall touch them. They seemed in the view of the foolish to be dead, and their passing away was thought an affliction, and their going forth from us utter destruction. But they are at peace. For if to others indeed they seem punished, yet is their hope full of immortality. I can't tell you how those words spoke to me when my son died. Yet their hope is full of immortality. Chastised a little, they shall be greatly blessed, because God tried them and found them worthy of himself. As gold in the furnace, he proved them. And as sacrificial offerings, he took them to himself. In the time of their judgment, they shall shine and dart about as sparks through stubble. They shall judge nations and rule over peoples, and the Lord shall be their king forever. Those who trust in him shall understand truth. Do you hear that? Those who trust in him shall understand truth. Now, I want to just stop there and pause there for a moment, because here's the thing. Just because we trust in God and understand truth doesn't mean that it doesn't pain us. It doesn't mean that in our human condition, you know, we don't realize the full effect of the sacrifice. It doesn't mean that sometimes that loss doesn't lay hold of us and grip us in a, you know, what seems to be an intolerable vice. All of those things can be present. All of them. But you see, when we trust in God, even though the pain is great and the suffering severe, the light of truth is there. And that light of truth is what brings consolation. It's what brings consolation in the greatest of losses, whether it's the death of a loved one or a betrayal or, a diagnosis of a serious illness. I don't know. But understanding truth, that light is the divine ray. Jesus says, I am the truth. It's the life of Christ. What happens with that? That light imbues the situation. And even though the pain rivets, the fact of the matter is, there's hope. There's hope. And it says in verse 9 of Wisdom 3, those who trust in him shall understand truth, and the faithful shall abide with him in love. How about that? We can abide in these moments with God in love. The love of our loved ones becomes the first paving stone that leads us in that direction. Until ultimately, through that pain, we arrive at the end of the road, who is the one who is truth, the one who is the embodiment of love, the one who always reflects to us the love of the Father and the love of the Spirit, our Lord Jesus Christ. Best companion along that path is Our Lady, who knows it so exquisitely and wants to take us there. Those who trust in him shall understand truth, and the faithful shall abide with him in love, because grace and mercy are with his holy ones, and his care is with the elect. These are beautiful words, my friends. These are beautiful words to contemplate, to pray, to meditate upon when the vicissitudes of life are, swirling around us. When the foam of the waves on our sea of life are thick, we have these assurances that come to us by way of God's providence and provision for us through sacred scripture. We don't ever want to take it for granted, right? And we know enough because of the teachings of the church that when the pain and the suffering racks us greatly and the grief is deep, we know that none of that is in vain, and that beautiful light of truth that brings us true understanding is really made manifest when we take all of that travail and we unite it to the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm crying because I miss my dad. I'm crying because these enterprises that I was about this morning bring a note of finality. But I have to tell you, I, in the midst of it all, weeping as I am on the air today, I am really joy-filled. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful for the dad that I had. I'm grateful for the way he cared for me. He wasn't a perfect father. No one is. St. Joseph, maybe. Of course, emulating God the Father so beautifully did he. But for all of those right moments and for all of those wrong moments in my experience of my dad's life and fatherhood to me, I was blessed. I was blessed by him. And so, Daddy, right here on the air, I tell you that I love you. And I tell you that I miss you. And I tell you that I'll always be your little girl. So here we are. And the phone lines are lighting up. And I'm going to choke my way through this. I could tell you, I just am amazed. And I'm so grateful to God for the opportunity to grieve like this. And how beautiful to grieve together, right? We're going to go to the phone lines now. And I'm going to let you do some of the talking here while I try to get myself a little more under control. And we have Michael with us. He's from Nacogdoches, Texas. I love to say the name of that city. Holy Name Radio is the way that he's with us. And he's a first-time caller. And I do have my bell, and I'm ringing it for Michael today. So good morning, Michael. How are you?
Good morning, Jeanette. As I was listening to you, it reminded me of when my father passed away 28 years ago.
Ah, Michael.
And Yeah, and like you, my wife and I had to bury our oldest son when he was 18.
I'm so sorry.
I understand those feelings of loss. And we also had that reading from Sirach at both funerals. So, yes.
It's one of the best.
So,
it's one of the best.
It is. It comes up in the Sunday readings. I think it was in last year's cycle. I do jail ministry. I'm at the county jail every Sunday. I spend 3 hours up there Sunday mornings before I go to Mass with my family. And one day we were going through the Ten Commandments, and when we got to honor your mother and father, I had a young man up there. He's probably in his mid-20s. And he said, "What if your father is a horrible man? What if he does horrible things? Why would you honor somebody like that?" And I said to him, I said, "It's not about how you feel. It's honoring your father means doing what is right in the eyes of the Lord. You bring honor to your father. It's not about a judgment on him."
Wow, Michael, that's profound.
And he kind of, I had to repeat myself several times before he finally said, "Oh, okay, I get it. I get it." And I just want to add, Jeanette, what you do with your program, you bring great honor to your father.
Thank you.
And in turn to our Heavenly Father. So, you know, it's really, we take our parents for granted when we're young. My mother's 80 years old now. She just turned 80 years old. And fortunately, her health is very good. But, you know, someday I will also have to bury her. And in turn, my children will have to bury me.
Yes.
And my hope is that my children will have the same love for me when I'm gone that you have for your father.
Oh, Michael. You know, it's an incredible gift of fatherhood. It's an incredible gift to raise our children to be the men and the women that God desires for them to be. And as I was saying about my dad, you know, right steps are not always taken. The most amazing thing for me when I became a mom and my oldest daughter, Jessica, was put into my arms, I don't know what I thought. But I think I thought that somehow there's this infused wisdom that comes with raising children, that as soon as they're put into your arms, you kind of know all things about parenting. And I was struck by the fact that I didn't know anything more about parenting when she was laid in my arms than I knew before. And that spoke to me a truth. And the truth that it spoke to me was my parents didn't know either. And so we all operate underneath the grace that we're given. We all operate underneath our capacity to cooperate with that grace. And do we make missteps? Yes, of course we do. But God has a way of making all of those missteps work towards the good. And, you know, I know in my mothering, I've made, you know, mistakes. I have deep regrets. I wish that I could go back and undo certain things. And yet, if the overriding reality is that we love our children, even in the missteps, you know, they know that love. And there's a capacity to see beyond that. And the advice and wisdom that you gave to this prisoner, you know, I made the comment and I stepped on you a little bit there. It's so profound. It was profound. And you are a wonderful father because you're so aware of your fathering. And you're so aware of wanting to bring the very best of yourself to your children and helping them to take the next steps towards adulthood. So if they're called to fatherhood, which your boys will be, and if you have daughters, they'll be called to motherhood, whether it's expressed biologically or spiritually, it will be imbued with what you gave to them. And I see that, you know, reflectively about my parents. The best of them, I think, was entrusted, and we strive to work with that, and we learn from those times when perhaps it was not so perfect, which gives us the courage to say, "Oh yeah, I've made a ton of mistakes myself, but God will work it to the good." So thank you for your call today, Michael.
Thank you.
My
youngest son, he's now 15, and just turned 15, and he's considering the priesthood. So I would
Beautiful.
Think that maybe we've been doing something right.
I think a whole lot. First of all, you have great generosity of heart that you want to encourage him in that direction. What a beautiful thing.
Yes, yes. All right. Well, Jeanette, God bless you and
you.
And your show, and keep up the good work.
Well, thank you, Michael, for your encouragement. And by the way, you're a spiritual father to all of those prisoners, many of whom I'm guessing might well be older than you. You are spiritually fathering them in the way in which they should go, and it will redound to great glory to God. So thank you for your ministry.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. What a beautiful phone call that was, right? And we see that, you know, there's all of these expressions of the way in which we exercise the graces that God gives to us by way of our genders, by way of our state in life, right? And we invite you to give us a call here, 833-288-3986. That's 833-288-EWTN. Looking forward to hearing from you today. We have time to start another call. We might have to hold her over for the break, but we're going to go there. Robin is with us, and she's in Stilton, Pennsylvania. EWTN app is the way. She's with us. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning, Donna. I'm very sorry for the loss of your father.
Oh, thank you.
And I have two things. Number one, my dad passed away 16 years ago.
Oh, Robin.
March 23rd, and I found him hard. And I think about him every day, and that picture in my mind of him on the bed really sticks with me.
Yes.
And it just was really hard. I was adopted. Him and my mom adopted me when I was about 11 months old.
Okay.
And you would have thought that I was their flesh and blood.
Sure.
I actually kind of looked like both of them, which was cool. And I was raised Southern Baptist, and he was a deacon in the church. And I'm the reason that they started going back to church was because when they adopted me, my dad was actually drinking quite a bit, and my mom was like, well, you know, God gave us this child. We should, you know, be thanking God. So he got into church and accepted Christ and became a deacon in the church. And so I knew spiritually when I found him that he was already in heaven. I knew that. But it was just really hard.
Yes,
to,
Robin.
Like, go through that.
Sure, baby. And I'm gonna ask you to hold on the line. You hear that music, we're going to a break. So I've got to break away from you, but I don't want you to break away from us. So you stay with us, friends. More on the other side of the break. Women of Grace Live today, giving tribute to Dad. Stay with us.
Transforming the world one woman at a time. Let's return to Women of Grace with Johnette Williams.
Welcome back, friends. You are listening to Women of Grace Live today. I am Johnette Williams, and it's a sad day for me. I was sharing at the beginning of the program today and through the first half that grief has struck me really hard. I'm missing my dad greatly today. And, you know, Father's Day is coming this Sunday, and I'm thinking that there are a lot of you out there who are grieving dads, that this might well be the very first Father's Day that you're spending without your father. You know, these are difficult times when we face these moments, and we can't hold back the tears. You know, grief comes unbidden, and it basically exerts a certain control. So I'm weeping on the air today, but we're receiving beautiful phone calls from individuals who also have lost their dads or want to give tribute to their fathers. And I'm inviting you to call us and to share with us too. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. We're also available for you out there in social media land. Go out to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. And you can use the chat feature there, and you can send us your question, comment, insight, inspiration, word of encouragement, whatever it is that you want to communicate with us today. Jeff Burson, who is our social media maven, will go out there and grab it and get it up on the on my board for me. And also Ryan Penny is on phones today, and he'll take your phone calls and he'll get them up on the board. And we have Robin on the phone. She's there in Stilton, Pennsylvania. EWTN app is the way that she's with us. And she was sharing with us that she's adopted. And when she was adopted, her father became a deacon in the church. And so, Robin, you know, in your story here, I'm a little confused because you talked about your father was a drinker at that time. Is this the adopted father then who became the deacon?
Yes.
Okay. And then you went you found your birth father. Is this correct?
No.
No. Okay.
No, I have no. I found my dad the day he died.
Okay. Oh, okay. All right. So explain to us about that.
Oh, well, my dad, I don't know anything about my birth family.
Okay.
About that. But
my
adopted dad, he had been really sick for a while. He smoked for like 50 years.
Okay.
He had COPD. And
yep.
So I had said goodnight to him like around 11 p.m., and he was happy that he was going to get to sleep in because the nurses had been coming every day at home. And then when I woke up, my cousin had called me and she said, "Your dad's not answering the phone." We had separate phone lines in the same house. And so I went to check on him and he had passed away.
Oh, sweetie.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh,
so you found him.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, it was very hard. I mean,
sure.
I knew he wasn't here, but I kept screaming, wake up. But yeah.
Oh, sweetheart.
It's very hard. Yeah.
Right.
And, but he was a deacon in the Baptist church. I became Catholic in 2008.
Okay.
Best thing I ever did. And
I'm happy for you.
But, yeah.
And welcome to the family.
Yeah, but thank you. But I know, he's up there somewhere looking
Surely.
Over me and I love him very much, and he treated me like I was his own. Well, I was, but like true flesh and blood.
Yes.
And he was just the sweetest guy. He was a big old teddy bear. He was short, but he was a big teddy bear. He was a sweetie.
Well, yeah. I'm so and happy, Robin, that you know, you have these beautiful memories of your father.
Yes, I do. And one other thing. One of my dear friends, Anne, lost her father last year. This is her first Father's Day without her dad. He was 96, and he passed away July 5th, I think. So this is really going to be a hard year for her. And I was wondering if you could say a little prayer for her before I go.
Sure. And give me her name again.
Anne.
Okay. Yes, because this is the first Father's Day that I'll experience too without my dad. So we're going to pray for Anne. We're going to pray for all of those who will be celebrating Father's Day without their fathers this year. And we're going to just really ask for the intercession of St. Joseph. St. Joseph wants to be our spiritual father, and God has given him that great grace to be able to be a spiritual father to us. And so we're going to ask him to be interceding with us as we pray. So, Father God, we do come before you in this moment, and I lift up Robin's friend, Anne. I lift up Robin. I lift up Michael. I lift up all of those who are with us today who have lost fathers. I incorporate myself into that beautiful family of believers who know that even though our loved ones are invisible to us, they are not separated from us. And so I would ask you, St. Joseph, through your intercession, to become for us spiritual fathers in a unique way, a way fashioned by God. This God who is omniscient knows precisely the way in which we need to be fathered and the way in which we always needed to be fathered. And so I would ask you, St. Joseph, to be that spiritual father to us, to obtain through your intercession for us all of the spiritual blessings that God knows are most needed for us, for you to join your beloved earthly spouse when you are on earth with her, our Blessed Lady, stand beside her as these graces are distributed to us through her holy hands. And Father God, we ask that in the midst of the sorrow that we surely experience, we are always provoked by an understanding of the truth and the ray of the divine life that is that truth that brings us every good thing. And so we offer this prayer to you, Father, in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the merits of his cross, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and with the maternal beatitude and intercession of our Blessed Lady, in your beautiful, beautiful providential care, we place our hearts, we place our souls, we place our minds. Amen. Thank you, Robin, for your call today, sweetheart.
Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you, baby. God bless you now. Bye-bye. A beautiful opportunity today, friends, to give tribute to our dads, living or deceased. We've heard from two of who have lost their fathers. Maybe there are some of you who still have your dads with you. Praise be to God for that, and would like to offer a tribute to them. Let me give you the number that you can use. It is 833-288-EWTN, toll-free for you right here in North America, 833-288-3986. Outside of North America, country code 1-205-271-2985. Again, country code 1-205-271-2985 is the way that you can join us right here on Women of Grace Live, where we do love having holy conversation with you, even if it's sobby and tearful. We certainly do enjoy it. We've got Sue with us. She's in Erie, Pennsylvania. Station of the Cross Radio is the way she's with us. Good morning, Sue. How are you?
Good, Jeanette. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
I wanted to call because I am a weepy person, too.
Oh, good. We'll weep together, girlfriend.
I'm feeling more weepy just because it's more of the story that I tell you is it was more of an experience of God. And so it's more to bring you consolation.
Thank you.
Because my dad had passed away. My mom and dad were in a nursing home. It's been 5 years. They were married over 60 years. My mom had been in the nursing home about a year and a half. My dad only 6 months. And
yes,
it'll be 5 years here in July. And they both would say, we're going first, we're going first. And I would think, oh, I don't know how this is going to work out. But my mom had passed 2 weeks prior to my dad. And then my dad was just really sad. He said, I miss her. You know, I said, is there anything that we can do? And he said, I just really miss her. And he was 86 and lived a long, good life. And we had put him into hospice because he had also been ill like a week after my mom. And we didn't anticipate that he would pass so quickly. I had been at work and was with him the night before he passed. And we were chatting, and he had had cancer and a couple other issues. And I said, I'll be back after work, you know, the next day. My sister was with him all day, and she hadn't contacted me, but he had really taken a turn and had was almost in Cheney Stokes of breathing when I got there. I'm a nurse, and I have never been with anyone that had passed as a nurse.
Really? Oh, isn't that interesting?
Our God is so good. God, our Father, this was the most beautiful gift. And this is what I wanted to really share. I was contemplating, you know, calling or not, because as you talked about going to take care of all that process, my whole family has, but it was really even a little bit more, you know, I was doing a lot of that. So I was just sobbing as I'm driving down to Mass at 12:10 because I knew what you're feeling. And this story then too, I worked all day and a Sister of Mercy came with me because my family, you know, to go see my dad, they were just really grieving, you know, having lost my mom just a couple weeks before and not wanting to really even want to go to the nursing home. You know, they were torn. And so I got there and my sister left. She was just in tears and because he was already, you know, really struggling with breathing, and he couldn't open his eyes. And I said, Dad, Sister, and I are here, and we're going to pray. And he squeezed my hand, squeezed my finger, so I knew he could hear.
Yes.
And I sat on one side of him, and Sister sat on the other, and we prayed the rosary and the Divine Mercy Chaplet.
Oh,
and as soon as we got done, she said, he's going. And I stood up, and I made a little sign of the cross on his forehead. And, Jeanette, it was the most beautiful experience. He opened his eyes, and I could see him. It was the most peaceful. It was just, I wanted to go where he was going. So I wanted to share that in the sense of that you miss them. But
yes,
it was so tangibly peaceful.
Yes,
that I was okay that he was going because I knew. And I just want to thank God. It was the most it was the best gift that I could have ever been given from God the Father. So yes. On Father's Day coming up, I mean, it's been 5 years, and as you were talking, I was just crying because you think of everything. But then when I reflect back on that moment of being with him when he died, it was indescribable how peaceful, and that we on this end will never know until we are crossing to go there.
Yeah. You know,
and so I wanted to share that because I'm a weeper, like unbelievable. And I was debating, should I call? Shouldn't I call? And I'll tell you, God was prompting me to call.
Well, I am so glad that you did. Well, I'm so glad that you did. And, you know, this God of ours cannot be outdone in generosity. And, you know, I think that when we are people of faith and we witness a happy death, and that's what your father experienced, you blanketed him in prayer. When we experience that, there is such a profound presence of God in that room. There is such a profound sense of the heavenly realities in that room. It becomes like a Kairos moment. We're in a place where we're outside of time and space, you know. My dad experienced something very similar to that, because when he went into the active dying process, we were all here. And my house has always been the gathering house for the family. And the whole of the family was here. My sister and her children and my children and their children. And my husband, Jack, was here with me. And it was, you know, we were just here. And we had just left Dad and came up to the house. And we were going to have a quick repast. We were going to eat something and then go back down. And my sister preceded me. And she sent her little granddaughter up to me, Priscilla. Priscilla came running up the sidewalk. Dad lived two doors away from me and came bursting in. And she says, "Come now, come now." And we flew out of there. And Dad was entering those final moments. We had already been there praying all day. Same as you. And, you know, it was just glorious, because you walked into that room and you could just feel the presence of God there. And the hospice worker that was on duty commented, and he said, we just, unfortunately, here in Florida, we have so many elderly who have been forgotten, and or, you know, their families just don't come. And he said, we don't witness something like this very, very often. So there were, you know, my dad's generation, my children and grandchildren, you know, the whole way down the line, four generations of people really gathered in that room. And it breaks my heart that, you know, people don't know how to really make that moment such a profoundly holy moment by offering for their loved ones what you offered for your father and what you got to see got to witness.
But I really believe that even, you know, people can't be there because my brother passed 2 years ago. Uh-huh. And God really will put the people that we need. Like, it's a kind of an assurance even for any of us when our moment of death is, like you were saying, our mission, that he provides for the appropriate people to be there when you die, even if it is just maybe a hospice worker. And so other people shouldn't feel, if they don't have that opportunity to do that. I mean, we should really try as much as we can.
Right.
But it's amazing how God will orchestrate that.
Oh yeah, it's and you know, we don't really know what happens in those moments. You know, I'm thinking about a lot of the saints, you know, would bilocate, Faustina being one of them, would bilocate to the bedsides of people to pray for them. We don't know what God does in those moments. But it is, I think it's a consolation, especially for the family, to have that opportunity, because we can look back on that and treasure that opportunity, treasure that moment. It's not a castigation against anybody that can't be there, but when you can be there, it's just a holy, holy grace. Sue, thank you. And I'm glad you heeded the prompting of the Holy Spirit. You have brought me consolation today. And the fact of the matter is, not just me, but so many who are listening, so many who are with us in this moment. God bless you, sweetie. And let's go to Mary. She is with us in Dublin, Ohio, St. Gabriel Radio. First time caller. There's the bell for you, Mary.
Good morning, Tanya.
Good morning, sweetheart. Tanya,
I was listening to your program. I've been praying to the Holy Spirit I won't cry during this call so that you can hear me through my shaky voice. But I was on my way to the bank when your program opened up, and I burst into tears immediately because I was doing what you had to do. But I don't want this call to be about me, but briefly I'll tell you. I'm 68 years old. I lost my dad when I was 14.
Oh, baby.
To lung cancer. And I lost my husband 4 months ago to mesothelioma, lung cancer of the pleura of his lung. But what I want to say is, when I heard your voice, it was like our hearts connected one, because you understand grief of a father, of a husband, really it could be anyone. You understand. And I just was so thankful to hear your voice. I've been listening to all your callers. There's so much I want to say. But first of all, trust in God. He can get us through anything. My husband lived for 6 months from diagnosis till his death. Every day I would pray, Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. My church, my rosary group, my faith got me through it. I was so blessed. It was like caring for Jesus, caring for my dear husband, Corky. We were married 43 years, but it was a 50-year love story. I saw when my husband was taken out by ambulance the 10 days before he died, it was like the grief of my father when he went out by ambulance. Yes. My husband lost 40 pounds to the cancer, and it was like I had double grief.
Yes.
And we've all had grief in our life. But God is so close to us. Our loved ones are so close to us. And just now your caller talked about, and you talked about bilocation. Padre Pio came to my husband. I was with him night and day, the last 10 days. He had many strokes, and he wasn't talking. But one night, out of his mouth came the words, Padre Pio. Oh. I rushed to his bedside. I said, honey, you know then that I was blessing you with Padre Pio oil.
Oh,
he said,
goodness.
No, as clear as can be. And he was not talking clearly. He said, no. The priest said, do you know Padre Pio? And that night, a Padre Pio card was on his bedside table. My daughter said, Mom, did you leave this? I said, no, honey. I truly believe my husband was given so many graces at death. So many. I was given so many graces, so many blessings. And I'm still being blessed. Hearing your call today was a blessing. It was like, again, our hearts connected. You understood, and through your tears, you helped so many people today, Johnette.
Oh, Mary. Well, we thank and we praise God. You know, He knows exactly what people need, and He orchestrates our lives accordingly. And that's true for each one of us. So maybe today, I don't know, on this Friday before Father's Day, and the work that, you know, was entrusted to me by my father, which, you know, was also a beautiful thing for me to realize today, that my dad... my dad put his confidence, you know, in me to take care of this for him. All of that being said, you know, God works all of these things to the good. And it reminds us, again, I have to go back to this. It reminds us of the reality of the mystical body of Christ, that we are never truly alone. We are always with the totality of the communion of saints, the church triumphant, the church militant, who is, you know, that's where we are, and the church suffering, the holy souls in purgatory. And it was John the 23rd, now saint, who made the statement that brought me such consolation when my son died, that our loved ones are not separated from us, but only invisible to us. And that is so true. And I just know that, you know, for all of us who have lost parents, have lost our mom and our dad, you know, our parents are there. They're still parenting us. They're parenting us through their prayers. They're parenting us through the glory that they see now that they can in some way intuit to our souls. It's a grace. And Mary, you've blessed us today with your call. And thank you so much for sharing. Thank you for sharing. You've been without your daddy a long, long time. And I read somewhere, or somebody told me, I have a friend, actually, I know who it was now, it was my friend Maka, who is a grief counselor with hospice, and she said to me, I guess maybe it was on the loss of my mom or something, but she said to me, you know, Johnette, she said, when we've lost and we lose again, we grieve all of the losses that we've experienced, and so that is the case today. And well, Mary, thank you for your call. God bless you, sweet woman of grace, and join us again. And friends, I want to say this, Lana's with us, and we can't get to her call. She lost her dad on Father's Day 2 years ago. You be assured, sweetheart, that you are in my heart, you are in my prayers, you are in my rosary. All of you are. And we invite you to keep us in yours, too. It's been a blessing to be with you. Thank you for letting me cry all over you today. I so appreciate you. You are my radio family, and I love you very, very much. God bless you now. Bye-bye.